Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Tuesday. That means it's time for the Wrestling Inc. NXT After Show. And have we got a show for you? We've got the Wolf Dogs in action. We've got Prime Target. And Akira Tozawa is ready. But before we get into all of that, I'm Jack Farmer. I'm being joined by NYC Demon Diva with a one in the name. Issa, we've got a lot of stuff to cover. It's a jam-packed week here at NXT, but I've got to ask the most important question on the docket. How's Roman doing?
He's doing better. Roman got injured, but I'm hitting the point where he's starting to feel a little bit better, so he's trying to overdo it because he's a very active dog naturally, and I'm still not supposed to allow him to be putting any like weight on his leg. For people who don't know, he tore a ligament on his leg, but it was mild. It wasn't severe, so it should go back to normal with medicines and on its own. But I have to be very careful, and Roman likes to run around. He's still very active for his age. He's six. But I gotta tell you something, it was heartbreaking to see him the first 2 days because he wasn't moving. Like, I could tell he was uncomfortable. But now that he's moving, I'm freaking out even more, Jack, because I don't want him to re-hurt himself. So I don't even, there's no happy medium. I just need him to be better. But he's improving. Thank you for asking. It's been rough. I don't want to leave his side. I'm such a baby for this stuff.
Yeah, no. I my dog had a ligament damage a while back as well. And it's so tough because now my dog was 90 pounds. So I had a bit bigger of a fella to corral. But you feel terrible because they want to play and they want to keep doing stuff because they don't get it. Like, they're like, I want to play. Why can't I play? I just hold my leg up. Like, no, stop. And then they give you that look like, why are you mad at me? Like, I'm not mad at you. I'm trying to help you. I wish you could just understand for 1 second.
I know. I had to set up my alarm for my neighbor leaves very early for work, and Roman would jump off the bed to run to the front door to bark at them. And now I have to set up an alarm for like 5 minutes before the neighbor leaves to like hold him, because if not, he'll take off. Like, he keeps on forgetting. But yeah, it's tough. You want to get them to understand, and they just give you those eyes. And my favorite thing has been just having to hide the medication, because he obviously doesn't take it on his own. So he's gotten a lot of really good treats this week, Jack. That's for sure, because that's the only way I can get him to take it.
Yeah, I know. You have to like bury them in so much food for them to not.
He got chicken nuggets. He got a hot dog yesterday. Today, he chicken tenders. Like, and I'm ordering Uber Eats for the dog. For the dog.
The Car Man Live too says Jack Farman, NYC Demon Diva. On February 28th, my family and I had to put the 15-year-old Chihuahua Peppy down to rest. We took him to the Hobart Animal Clinic in Indiana. I'm so sorry to hear that, Carman. I lost my puppy back in August, so I know how tough that can be. But maybe it's time to adopt. I don't know.
Foster is also very good.
I've been doing a lot of fostering. Yeah, Carman, that's a good way to have a dog, like to kind of feel some of that dog in the house without jumping all the way on board, if that makes sense. But stalking you, giving us the dog emoji, of course, for Roman, hoping Roman gets better soon. We got a good crew here, by the way. Good crew in the chat. Thank you guys so much for joining us. As always, like, comment, share, subscribe. It would be a big favor for both Issa and I if you guys went into the YouTube comments and just left a comment in there so we could show everyone our amazing SEO and how much people love us as a and a five-star review on Apple. We haven't gotten a a nice review on Apple in a little bit. So head on, even if you're not listening on Apple, just head over to Apple and give us a 5-star review.
It helps us a lot.
At the very least, it makes my ego grow, and my ego can never get enough.
Oh God.
We have some news we got to get to, of course, and this one was kind of interesting. WWE's consensual relationship policy leaked addressing workplace romance. Post-wrestling and WrestleNomics obtained the official policy, and I didn't read the whole policy, Issa. I think the whole thing was actually leaked for everybody during the show, and frankly, I'm just not going to read 3 pages of legal documents in my free time. But I guess basically it addressed things like you can't have a relationship. You can't be the superior of somebody who you are having a relationship with. This stuff seems like it's pretty straightforward workplace rules, but I think clearly WWE needed to do something considering everything that's been in the news lately.
Yeah, I didn't read it either. I'm just not interested. I feel like that meme that I'm not going to read all that. I'm really happy for you or sorry that happened to you. Have you ever seen that meme? I use it way too much. Anyways, yes. I mean, they had to do what they had to do. A lot of times we tend to forget that WWE is a huge corporation. And if you ever work for corporate, you know those policies are there because eventually they will have to come out and you have to show, well, the policies that nobody reads on that employee handbook that they hand you the first date. It's always there. It's a policy. I'm glad that it's there for people to understand. There is a lot of couples in WWE, but I feel like every corporation in the world has one of these policies written in that book that they handed you first thing that you never read.
Yeah, this is pretty common. Every corporate job I've ever had has had this in there. I've always just lived under the rule of if you work at a corporate job, just don't date in-house. That's never a good move. Never ends well. It always ends poorly. Or it ends in marriage and happily ever after, I guess. I don't know. I've never seen it.
It feels that way, though. No, I have. It feels like it's either really bad or it ends up being like a lifelong relationship. There's no happy medium with it.
Yeah. It's always so, but you never know which one of those it's going to be until it's too late. That's the problem with these things. But yeah. I think this probably impacts the corporate side way more than what we're going to see with the pro wrestlers. Cause like, again, I think a lot of it has to do more with if you answer to somebody or if someone's your superior, and like Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins are married, but they're not each other's superior. They don't answer to each other, at least not on TV.
At least not on the job.
Yes. I think smart move of them, at least. I think it was smart that they release it to show that they're doing something. Again, a lot of bad publicity. And I know some people said maybe this was a little bit took too long before it came out. But it's also a big corporation. Big corporations take forever with this kind of stuff. That's just how they are.
Yep. And they have to be approved by so many legal teams, so many HR. And HR might like it to say something, but the legal team won't. And everybody has to revise it. I've been there. I helped a large New York City company create a side company. And I remember when we were trying to put together the employee handbook and they took it to like their big leagues and we had to review so many things so many times that it was just like, why'd you guys make it? Making me do this like 10,000 times because this department didn't like it and this department didn't like it. It really is a process.
Yeah. And it's funny how in those things, little like one word can throw the whole thing off.
Oh my
like,
God, the whole thing.
We don't like the word subordinate. We want you to use this or just whatever.
They gave me budget to hire like a writer and everything. You know what I mean? To make sure that it was going to be like made the right way. And you hire one of those people that you're like, well, the policy says people shouldn't date each other. And they put it together in a nicely worded way. And they still didn't like it. And I'm like, all right, well, it's your guys' money. I'll keep hiring writers and everything. But it was crazy to try to put together just an employee handbook, let alone like the training book and all that. It was a headache. It was a bigger for me when I had that job. I was a VP of operations. And that was the most stressful part. Not running the company, not the employees, not the clients, not the sales. No, it was putting together policies that everybody would agree with and we could incorporate into our daily, workplace.
Yeah, so much stuff goes into it. But a lot went into tonight's episode of NXT. And of course, before
yeah,
we
talk
all
these
details, of course, again, like, comment, share, subscribe. If you're in the chat, like Killer of Demons with the raid. Pepita saying, I miss you, Jack. I miss you too, Pepita. And aww. Lego Brick Collector, Tozawa's ready. Daniel Cunningham, also a Issa raid. And Jack saying, or John Johnson saying, Jack, I will be in Philly for Mania with my son. Well, hope maybe we'll bump into each other.
Why don't we meet, Jack? I'm going to be in Philly for WrestleMania.
Yeah, I was going to say, we got to hang out at some
point.
We have
to do something. We'll exchange numbers and then we'll figure it out. But we gotta do something.
Yeah, we'll go run the Rocky Steps or something.
Oh, my God. That would be so much fun. So you have to record me wearing high heels. I'm not wearing flats.
I'll run up in a suit or something.
Yeah. Oh my God. That'll be...
Let's go.
Ricky Zaldivar said also Issa Raid.
I brought some of my people over, Jack. You know.
Yeah, of course. You're the draw here, not me. Carman, greetings from Indiana, and Psycho 187 or Hey Issa, Hey Killer. Blue Sunshine Studios here. Good to see you. Keon Robinson with the super chat, by the way, saying, Issa, fire emoji. Again, you are absolutely... How did you get that to happen? I don't know. How did you get the magic powers? How did you do that?
Are you in a Mac? MacBook?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah, I got a MacBook.
Is it like a newer one?
Yeah, well, a couple years, but not
so soon. If you have it updated, you should be able to go into like your little camera settings on the top, like the FaceTime settings, and just turn on reactions.
Oh my goodness, I have to do that. I'm not gonna do it now because I'm worried I'm gonna
break. No, don't do it now, but it would allow you to do really cool things.
I'm gonna start doing heart emojis to Justin Labar and see how he reacts. Daniel Barry, of course, here, and Cody's Crybabies has to be one of yours.
Definitely not mine. First of all, they're on Facebook, as they should be. I would picture the Cody Crybabies to be Facebook users, because and nobody else using Facebook right now. No offense, Cody. Listen, everybody knows whose team I'm in. Okay, I'm not hiding my bias towards my tribal chief. So, of course, I'm going to throw some shade, all right? But it's all love, Cody Crybabies. I hope you guys are all okay from what happened last night. Have anybody checked on Cody yet, though?
I'm scared. The Rock might still be beating him up. But Beer Money here, good to see you. Fred Bucks, James Orrell, and Orrell. How do I pronounce your last name, James? I apologize. Orrell? Much love, you guys. I'm pulling for Roman is what James
you,
says.
James.
Good evening, everyone. Joycey Collins and Tommy O is in the chat. J.R. Smith with the super chat. Jack is going to have crotch.
All right. I'll tell you what. No, he means this. Let me see if I can make it happen real quick. Okay, here we go. I call these crotch hearts because they look like they're coming from So.
Yes.
He wants you to have your reactions on so you can give Labar some crutch hearts.
I am absolutely going to try to do this during Monday with Justin Labar and Jimmy Corderas. And I'm not going to tell him. I'm just going to start doing
just
it.
Just do it. Just let the hearts come out of your crutch naturally.
Sorry, guys. Was that me? Oh man, that's so great. Oh, Mike Rouse, by the way, putting us on the big screen. Thank you so much.
Ooh, I love that.
everyone loves the crotch hearts. Yeah, we're gonna
they're the best. Every time Roman Reigns comes out, they're just like it's like an explosion.
On Monday, I'm gonna be like, Bronson Reed, why are they coming out when he comes?
Oh my god, this is too much. We're just getting started, people.
I promise you guys, this is an NXT review show.
This is why they don't put us together. This is why they don't put us together. Once we became friends, it all fell apart. They should have just kept us beefing the whole time, Jack.
You know, well, speaking of friends who beef, Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams, these guys had a prime target, Issa, and everyone in the chat, I want your thoughts on this, and everyone in your comments, wherever, let me know your thoughts on prime target. Issa, these, when they do prime targets, these are so good, and this was really one of their best ones.
Yeah, because we got to learn a lot about Trick Williams tonight that we didn't know. And I don't even know where to start. I personally think that Trick and Melo are selling Stand and Deliver. That is the match I want to see. Now, I'm a big Tony D fan. Everybody knows it, but I don't care. I care about this story. I'm equally invested in both of these guys. Like, I feel guilty even picking a side because both of them are so cool. You want to root for both of them, but they made Trick Williams look like a million bucks with the prime. Like, it was so good. That thing of him running the steps, like, he looked like a freaking athlete, which he is, don't get me wrong. But he looked like an athlete. And then they transitioned that into the Rocky steps, and I was like, oh, cinema. You know, like, we're using that word a lot, especially since last night. But at the same time, Melo is a star. So it's like, you want, like, I watched this video package yesterday, and I'm like, oh my God, give Trick Williams everything. I believe that's what I tweeted. But at the same time, I'm like, God, I freaking love Melo. Like, I love Melo. I love him as a heel. And I like both of them. I haven't felt this invested in a match in NXT. I can't remember how long it's been. And I love NXT. I cover it here every Tuesday. I watch it on my channel every Tuesday. I think it's underrated. I think more people should be watching NXT. But I can't tell you the last time that I felt like all in on a match and I don't know who I want to win. And if you're just watching those video packages, like if I had a friend that is going to Philly and I want to sell them into going to Stand and Deliver, this is what I would show them. And they will buy a ticket and go because that's how good they put it together. And having the main rosters guys hype it up too was absolutely incredible. I thought it was a little ironic that Gargano and Ciampa were in there because that's probably the last time that I felt this invested in a rivalry was theirs. Right. CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, like Randy Orton. It was like, it was, I can't hype it up even more, guys. It was incredible. Go watch the segments if you didn't watch tonight's NXT.
I'm so torn on these prime targets because part of me wants to see them do these more often, but part of me also likes that it's only when it's time for the biggest of matches.
When it's that big. I see what you're saying because they're just so good, but I feel like they're that good because they do them when it really matters.
Yeah. Ray J's World saying, I like the prime target and seeing CM Punk talking about Carmelo and Trick. Joycey saying Trick needs to win. Samantha sneaking in, by the way.
Hey, Samantha.
Thanks for coming through, Samantha. And thanks to all the lurkers, by the way, the people hanging out and not saying anything. I still appreciate you. But this, you're right. This is one of those things that we always talk about. How do you get either the casual viewer or new fans or things like this? I could show this video package to someone who's never watched wrestling and say, do you want to see who these guys fight? And they're like, yeah, this is, I want to see them fight. And you can pick a side and you can pick the one you like. And cause you're right. They're so, Trick is so lovable. And it's crazy because Carmelo is a lovable guy also, but he's so good at being someone you want to see lose. Cause he's such a good bad guy too. He's such a jerk when it comes down to it. And these two, it's that perfect mix of like the story is great. The chemistry between the two guys is great. The athleticism of the two guys is great. There is a, I think, I know you're a Roman person, but I think there's
what gives you that impression?
There's an argument to be made. I feel like the Trick Carmelo story and match feels like some of the best storytelling in wrestling right now.
Oh yeah, 1,000%. 1,000%. I was fully invested up to the NXT when it all, the paper, the takeover, when it all happened. Even that day, I'm like posting on my Instagram, my Twitter, like, oh, let my boys win everything. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I wanted, you know, Trick to win the title. I wanted them to win the tag titles, like, because I love their friendship so much, even though we knew what was coming. Like, they've been telling us that. The story has been told for a long period of time. And if you, like, look past the heel turn and just think about their segments, the barber shirt, they're just cool. They are so organically cool. Not even trying to be cool. And, of course, I also have a small bias because I have gotten to interact with both of these guys in person. I met both of them. And I got to tell you something. The it that everybody talks about, Trick Williams has it. Like, I can see why they're doing everything right with him in NXT right now because I got a chance to interview him back at the Bianca Belair premiere for the Love and WWE. And when he walked into the room, it was like everybody turned and looked. Like, he has that factor and not everybody has that, right? But yeah, they are that cool normally. Like, you just walk up to them to talk to them, and that's just how they act. That's just how they behave. So to know that is, this is not a forced character. This is who these guys are on 100. And I just love it. And I just cannot wait to see what they do. But I'm telling you that, like, I didn't realize the backstory with Trick Williams in Philadelphia. I feel like they never really told us that before. So, like, that makes it so much special that he's going to be doing that here. Like, they really hit it on the nose. They did everything right with this. Like, I might give it another watch. I'm assuming we'll probably see it on the pre-show before Stand and Deliver. But I will definitely be giving these segments another watch.
Yeah, there was a line in there, and I wish I remembered the guy's name. I think it was a former coach for Trick Williams, where he was like, he said, and I can't remember the exact line, but it was like, sometimes you go your whole career, but you only get one chance to get to hit that guy. And it made me think, of course, we assume these guys will have a million matches, but maybe they won't.
You don't know. You don't know.
And it makes you think you have to see this fight. To me, that sold this fight so much, that one line. And to your point, I like a lot of wrestlers. Everyone, I get made fun of for liking everybody, but I feel like I'm very proud of Trick Williams. I remember it was October of 2021. Trick Williams was in the Haunted House against The Way, if you remember that. I think the world still hadn't fully opened up yet. And so I remember thinking, of course, at that point, Carmelo Hayes was already like, he's probably going to be great.
He was made. Yeah.
But Trick Williams, I remember watching that, and I remember saying, Trick Williams is going to be great. He's going to be special. Because he can... There was just, I was like, he knew he wasn't the main character, but he pulled every ounce of entertainment out of that segment, and he made everyone look great. He was incredible. I was like, this guy, there's
always
something special
it.
There.
I was with you on that. Like, I remember that, but I remember seeing him in segments with Carmelo where I was like, God, I hate to say this because I love him, but they got to split him. There's too much charisma. There's too much of both of these guys could be the main guy in NXT right now. I was like, they eventually, like, I'm like, don't make it happen right now, but you eventually are going to have to split these guys. But the thing that they did right, Jack, is that they split them at the right time. Trick has it, looks wise, on the mic, like, he's lovable. For me, he didn't have it in the ring when you watch those matches back then. And you watch him now, and you can see the improvement. And that's when you go like, okay, I can see why we waited a little bit to get there, because you don't want to put Trick in the situation that he's in right now until he's 100% like ready, you know, and he is there. And I think we're going to be talking about Trick Williams for a long time. And this is just the beginning of it. I feel the same way about Carmelo too, but I think Melo might be main roster ready, where I can give Trick Williams a little bit of more time in NXT on his own, become the world champion NXT before you bring him up. I do think after this, we might see them really split up for a little while, where we keep them apart and let them shine individually.
Yeah. Psycho saying Trick is a star in the making. I'd say he's a star. I agree with what you're saying. He said that maybe keep them separate for a little bit, because you can't have them exist in the same world after this.
No.
They have to be on separate places. And I guess to wrap it up with Melo, as I had a very short interaction with him in Dallas during that WrestleMania weekend. And I agree with you. That interaction was very short, but it's one where I will be a fan of his and a champion for Carmelo Hayes the rest of his career. He's such a good guy, and it was not in a situation where he needed to be. It wasn't like it wasn't a recorded situation. It wasn't an interview. It was just at the hotel bar. Quick.
Those are the best interactions.
And it was one of those. No one's watching, but he was so cool to me. And
those are the ones you really remember. See, my interaction with Melo was in the media day, but I didn't interview him. It was just like he didn't make it to my side of the room, because obviously, you know, like, there's so many media forums out there trying to get interviews that we don't all get everyone. But I was such a fan that I really wanted to make it a point to just introduce myself. And he knew about our podcast. He knew about everything. He knew who I was. And I'm like, can I just get a picture so I'm not going to get an interview? And we just posed, and he was just the coolest. And I always find that very, like, what we do, like, that makes you feel like it matters when, you know, some of the talent is listening to what we're saying and hearing the feedback and taking it in, maybe not always agreeing, but it was just really cool for him to bring, oh, you're the wrestling chick. And I'm like, oh, crap, you know?
Right.
So he was so awesome. But yeah, like, overall, I just want everything for both of these guys. And I just, that's the thing, like, I have a love-hate relationship with NXT, because you start loving these people and then they take them away because they outgrew it. It is a developmental brand, you know? But mm-hmm. I always also feel so proud when you see them on the main roster and you're interacting with someone that doesn't necessarily watch NXT, and you can flex and be like, we always knew they were going to be great. Have you not been watching them? You know, so, you know, you see people like Tiffany Stratton and her reaction in Australia. And, you know, we've been watching her since day one over in NXT, and we knew we would get there with her. So it's just fun. But these two guys, I felt you knew they were going to be special since the second they were on the screen. And it's been incredible mm-hmm. to watch them.
Yeah, that's what I was slow to get on the NXT bandwagon when it first started years and years ago. Because I was like, well, yeah. I don't want to fall in love with these guys and then have them leave, you know. Yeah. And so I was kind of slow to get on the bandwagon. Eventually, of course, I did. And I was like, this is great. Now I get it. I always say it's kind of like watching college sports where, like, they're great, but you get to kind of see them before they reach that
right before everybody's talking yeah. about them. It's so much fun. I went yeah. through a period where I stopped watching it for a little bit, where I was like, they keep taking them away. But then I understood, because I also love Raw, I also love SmackDown. Yeah. So, but it's just seeing them in a different, and then sometimes they don't get booked the way you want them to get booked, and then you get frustrated because you know what they can do. Like, we all been there. Like, it's a weird thing with NXT, but it's fun to see them grow into what you know they can be.
There was a little bit of news that came out today that says that both Hayes and Williams have been on the main roster. That's not news. We've known that. They've had right. matches there. But Fightful Select is reporting that Hayes will likely be shifted to the main roster in the summer, while WWE management was impressed with Trick's brief appearance on SmackDown at the start of the year, with some backstage suggesting that the two should take their feud to the main roster. Now, we kind of talked about that. I feel like after this match, they should probably go their separate ways, whether that is one of them getting called up or them going to separate brands or whatever. In your opinion, now you're a fan of both NXT and the main roster. Do you like when they continue things from NXT, or do you feel like they should treat wrestlers like it's a new experience coming to the main roster, because NXT doesn't necessarily have the same number of eyeballs on it?
It depends on when they get called up and what they're up to when they are called up, right? If you're in the middle of a story, I hate if you just automatically drop it. There's some people that you feel like, okay, you overstay your welcome in NXT and maybe a reset is good, so you go to the main roster. I think that Carmelo has done so much in NXT, and I feel like Trick is just scratching the surface. And I know that this is a huge feud for him, right? I do know that, but I do think that Trick could be the top guy. He could be the NXT world champ. So I will keep him down there, but maybe that's just me being selfish, because I do remember that appearance. He got a huge pop. Everybody on SmackDown started chanting, whoop that Trick. And I don't know that they were ready to see him get that kind of reaction. And I mean, I'm not blind. Look at Trick William. How can you not get excited to see him? Respectfully.
I mean, by the way, anyone who can pull off the bicep bands, I'm a fan of. So I'm a big fan of that. we got, by the way, Samantha, probably my favorite comment tonight. There's over 100 of us in the room. Hit the thumbs up and subscribe. Absolutely appreciate you, Samantha. Yeah. Hit that like button. Of course, Psycho saying spear the like button. I saw a funny little, interview clip. I think it was from the Chris Van Vliet interview with Rhino. Rhino said, no one's ever kicked out of the Gore. If they ever kicked out, it was a spear.
But, I like that.
Yeah, no. They kicked out. I hit him with a spear, not a gore. That's
not a gore. It's a whole different beef, you know?
By the way, John McDonald saying, as a fan, I'm good with continuing feuds on main roster if the chemistry is undeniable. Yeah, I always think it's good to circle back with them, but sometimes I worry that
Think about this. Yeah. All right? Let's say they call Melo up in the summer and we keep Trick on NXT and they don't interact, and then we make it to Royal Rumble season and Melo is out there and out comes Trick Williams, and that's how you see the feud. Oh my god, and Trick eliminates him. Now we're talking, right? Because you're like, oh crap. So listen, there's ways to do it, but I do think, I mean, you can continue it, but I do think that keeping them apart for a little bit might be a good idea. I don't know. I'm just excited for the match. Like, I get like that they're reporting this news, but right now I just want to, I think these guys are single-handedly selling Stand and Deliver. I'm not sure that the rest of the card right now is, it is up to par to what this story has told us.
Angie saying good idea, and then Ricky Zaldivar saying Trick versus Melo 2 at WrestleMania 41. Psycho saying great idea, Issa. So That's it. You got the penny, so you're booking from now on.
Don't make me play the clip on my channel. I have a clip. Every time I have a good idea, I play it. I have a clip of Finn Balor telling me that I should be writing the shows, and I overplayed the crap out of that. I looked at it like, you should have never said that to me.
Well, speaking of booking, this one is where booking gets a little interesting as we move on in the show. Dijak faces Sean Spears, two big fellas, hard-hitting. Joe Gacy steals Sean Spears' chair. Then Dijak gets the win over Spears. Later, Spears is cutting a promo when Gacy throws the chair at him.
He's raining steel chairs. That's so dangerous. The NXT parking lot will never not be dangerous.
I've been a big fan of Sean Spears. I mean, I've always been a fan of him. I've just always liked him. I've always thought that he's just a great asset in pro wrestling. Dijak, I want to like, but I can't like a guy whose name is Dijak. I mean, come on. That's not good for business. But Joe Gacy, I am loving unhinged Joe Gacy. He's one of my favorite parts of the show.
Man, I can't help but to smile immediately when I see him. Whether you want to like him or not, you just, like, laugh. You know what I mean? Like, what is he going to do? You know, it was so funny. I had a conversation about how much is he paying for rent under the ring at this point, because it feels like he lives there now. Is it a one bedroom? Is it a studio? I don't know. I don't know how I'm feeling about Sean Spears yet. I think it's too soon to be. I don't understand his character, but I'm intrigued. Right? Mm-hmm. Dijak, that should be like the perfect wrestler, but he's lost so many matches and so many feuds that I just lost, like, I was very shocked that they had him win here, because we just saw Sean Spears come back, but I did think that Dijak needed the win a lot more than Sean Spears. Sean Spears just re-immersing on the scene, you know what I mean? Where Dijak is just loss after loss. Good matches, don't get me wrong. And he does some things that you're like, you're 6'7". Yeah. Like, yeah. You should not be physically able to do these things. So I was very happy. But to your point, I was more intrigued about Joe Gacy than the two guys that were going at it.
Yeah, it's Joe Gacy. And again, him throwing the chair off the roof, just as unhinged, like not knowing what he's going to do. And you're right. I'd love for them to do a bit where they like take the camera and go under the ring. And then when you get under the ring, it's way bigger than what a whole warehouse is under. That's like massive space.
Oh my God, that would be so funny.
And then when he sticks his head out from the curtain, it's small, like it's under the ring again. I don't know. That'd be it.
The whole three, remember the three from, what was the name of his faction?
Schism.
Yeah, remember how they had the three and all the masks are still there? Like, yeah. All of his history, like, it's all in there.
It's all just this big. And even some of the, like, didn't he do some stuff with Braun Breaker for a while where
he did this stuff with, like, Parker Board. Like, his old outfit is like, down there. Like, it would be so funny.
Just this massive space with all of his stuff. I'm digging Joe Gacy. People are kind of torn though. Joycey saying Joe is crazy. And
he is crazy.
Psycho saying Joe Gacy is off.
But very.
I think we got to give Joe Gacy a lot of credit though, because now that I'm going through it, like, he has been given so many weird things to do, and he finds a way to make it work. Like, that's. If I'm one of the big wigs up in the main roster, I'm like, this is someone we can plug in anywhere. Yeah. And so it's, by the way, shout out DC Hendricks rolling through. Yo. Hey. He's able to make anything work. And like, that's, I think he's one of those guys that if you're like, I always like to say, if wrestlers were stocks, which ones would you buy? Joe Gacy's going to be a stock that's around for a long time, because they'll always be able to figure out something to do with him. And that's a valuable tool in pro wrestling.
That is. Yeah. 1,000%. You know, I compare that to, and I'm not saying they're the same character before people come for me, but I always say The Miz is that kind of character that you can involve him in any story and you'll buy it immediately. You can put him in the main event. You can put it in a comedy angle. You can put it in a serious angle, a mid-card. Like, it doesn't matter. He'll make it work. Yeah, that is that stuck. Look at how long The Miz has been around. How many stories they put him in. Like, you need a desperate cashing for a transition. The Miz is right there. Yep. Those guys are the ones you got to keep an eye on.
Yeah, it's also so fun, too, to be a fan of theirs. Because you're right. Joe Gacy in 3 months could be in the NXT title picture and it wouldn't be that shocking. He could also be in a tag team. He could also be a manager, whatever. Yeah. Like, he could do anything and it would make sense. And that's just very cool stuff there. Now, Dijak is lined up for a North American title shot. I know that because later in the night, Duke Hudson had a match with Josh Briggs. Josh Briggs gets the win in that Haas match, and Obafemi comes out.
He's definitely taking the pin.
You think Obafemi's pinning Josh Briggs in this one?
1,000%.
Why so?
I don't know. They've been around for so long, and I cannot find myself investing anything that Briggs or Jensen or I don't even know their full names. Like, I get them confused. I cannot get into what they're doing. And I feel like I'm not the only one that has that disconnect. I will say, tonight he did incredible in that match against Duke Hudson. I thought he was great. And when he won, I was like, okay, I can see it happening. But I don't know what these guys need to become interesting, because they've been here for a while. But, I mean, I like Fallon Henley on her own. You know what I mean? Like, and they started together. I don't know. There's a disconnect with me and them as characters. I don't know how you feel about it. I think that he's very good in the ring, but I just don't care. Every time he comes out, I'm like, okay.
Well,
Brooks and Dunn. Well, that's what I said.
Brooks and Dunn. it's interesting because now that you say it, I agree with you. I think that if I was predicting, Obafemi is probably going to retain, and Josh Briggs makes the most sense as the person that I could imagine getting pinned here. I feel like Josh Briggs is someone who I was comparing him to the sword version of Drew McIntyre, where he's got the size, he's got the look, like I could see him beating people, but I felt like something's missing to get to that next level, to shift into that next gear. And I feel like if Briggs can find a way to be like the Drew McIntyre ending CM Punk's WrestleMania dreams, Drew McIntyre, we might have something there. But I think there's like one ingredient we're missing with Josh Briggs that is making it so I don't believe in him winning this match. Does that make sense?
Yeah. How I feel. There's just something there that I never feel invested into what they're doing.
Yeah.
excuse me. Even when they were together, I care more about this other guy and his dating story with Kiana James. Like, you know what I mean? I just never found him to be the one that stands out in the group. And now that they're on their own, he's not standing out to me yet. I love that you brought up that example, because if I'm being honest, I didn't care about Drew for the longest time after he lost the belt. It was more the same thing. And then for a little while, he was like, oh, I deserve to win. And now he's one of my favorite things on TV. Like, I was thinking about, like, I was talking about it yesterday on my YouTube channel, where I was like, people that I have completely turned around, and I would apologize because I probably talked so negative in the past. Drew McIntyre is one of them. My God, am I just looking forward to anything he tweets, post or does on the show. Like, you're just following him everywhere. He's doing such an amazing job. But it took that moment, it took that boom to like make him explode. So maybe that's just what we're still waiting, and maybe we'll see it, and we just need to be patient.
I was saying on Raw last night that CM Punk has gone toe-to-toe on a microphone with The Rock, with John Cena, with MJF, with Cody Rhodes. But I think Drew McIntyre takes it back to CM Punk better than all of them, which I think is absolutely saying something when you think about it. Like, they're the best in the world on the microphone, but Drew McIntyre, I think, has got
CM Punk's number
better than anybody else.
And maybe not in the building, because you're in Chicago, and CM Punk in Chicago is just a different experience. You just have to be there, right? Because they just love him. But as a viewer at home, as soon as CM Punk came out, I didn't care. I just waited for Drew music to hit. Like, give me the back and forward now. Where is Drew? Bring him out.
Yeah.
And if you go look at the numbers, because I was just looking at them, that segment had the highest ratings. But on YouTube, they had, last time I looked, they had 1.2 million views on that segment, which was more than the Cody getting murdered by The Rock. Like, people are really into this right now. And it's just incredible to watch, because I just remember the ending of Clash of the Castle, where he lost to Roman and he's singing. I know we weren't supposed to see that, but we saw it. And I'm like, where did you go from that? And my God, shout out to Drew McIntyre, man. Like, we should be paying for the entertainment that he's giving us. Also, look, I have it back there for when I went to Mindy's. So, you know, when I saw him go to Mindy's, I was like, yo, if we are on the same level of petty, bravo.
and it's because it's not just like it's funny. It's not just clever and funny and good trolling, but it's like funny. Like it's good. It's great.
Rehab line last night. You don't smoke, you don't drink, but you spend all your time in rehab. I'm like, bro.
I guess all this to say, I feel like I think because of Josh Briggs, I still think of him as the guy in the tag team. I still connect him to everything. I don't feel like he's left that team yet. And I don't know if that means he needs like a wardrobe change or like a gimmick change or something, but I feel like something has to happen.
You need that moment where he just, when you go like, oh, okay, I see you, bro. Like, you know, and you start really taking him seriously. And I don't think he's had that moment yet. But in ring tonight, I thought that was some of the best work we've seen him do.
Mm-hmm. We got a couple of promos here and we'll kind of bunch them together. Roxanne Perez, she's getting a little sassy. And Lyra Valkyria saying that, look, you can choose the right path or the wrong path. How do you feel about this rivalry so far in these two? They're two of my favorites. And I know they're going to do great, but for some reason, I feel like I'm missing something here.
Do you feel like, I love talking NXT with you because we never talk NXT, but do you feel like they're just doing what they would have done with Cora Jade, with Roxanne, because Cora Jade got injured? Because that's the thing that's not clicking to me. Is that it feels like, oh, Cora Jade got hurt, so the next best thing that we have is Roxanne. And their characters have come together. They have been like hand in hand like throughout their time. But to me, it just feels like we had this script and this actor is out, so they just gave it to this other one. It doesn't feel original to Roxanne. And that's the thing that I'm missing. But Lyra as a champion hasn't exactly hit for me. This woman beat Becky Lynch and it just doesn't feel like it. Like there's no aura there from that. So if I got to tell you who I'm rooting for as Stand and Deliver as of right now is Roxanne, but I feel like that is an insert a heel here story and not really who she is.
Yeah, I think maybe that's what it is. I didn't actually make the connection of Cora Jade, but now that you mention it, it does feel like that could be it. Because Roxanne Perez, like, I think she's doing a good job, but I can tell she's a nice person, you know?
Yeah.
it's like me being like, I don't like any of you in this town. Everyone's like, okay, yeah. Jack, come on.
Nobody's gonna fight.
What are we talking about here? You're not really a bad guy. So, like, I think there's a little bit of that. And then I think with Lyra Valkyria, I was a fan of hers in NXT UK. And I think what made her great there, and this is a little weird, but like, she was mysterious and she didn't talk. And she's almost like a Goldberg character there, where like she would come out and she has some video, like vignettes, but you wouldn't really hear her cut promos and things like that. Yeah. Please. She was undefeated for a long time, but she was more of like a
compared to Asuka, then you know, the real holder of the street.
Okay, yes, good point. So like, well, Asuka danced around. She was a totally different type of aura. But,
I
get what you're saying though. So it's I guess like maybe I'm unfairly comparing her to what she was before, and also I feel like with Lyra Valkyria, I'm much more like interested in the Tatum Paxley Lyra Valkyria situation than I am in the Roxanne Perez Lyra Valkyria situation. And I don't know if that's like distracting me or I feel bad. I don't know if I could say what they could do to make, I feel like they're doing what they're supposed to do very well, but I don't know. I feel like there's too many outside distractions for me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. It's not clicking. I think that Roxanne has an even better story to tell than Cora did, with her having to relinquish the title and then she came back a week later. Like, the whole thing was weird and she was out for revenge for that. But it really does feel very plug and play. It's not feeling original to her because it's like punching random people backstage is weird. Like, you should have always been going after the champion, but then you punch people backstage randomly for like 3 weeks and then you were like, no, I want my title back. Like, it's just weird. It just feels like we just inserted her here. And yeah, with Lyra, I just think there's I don't know, you know, like, I just don't think anybody loses to Becky Lynch. So I just thought that she would be like huge and it doesn't feel that way. It doesn't.
Yeah. Joseph Boza agreeing with you, saying, I wonder if this was supposed to be Lyra versus Cora Jade. Roxanne had a better story, but in this situation, it feels forced.
I'm just making like the comparison because that's just, she gives me Cora Jade vibes. That's the energy that Cora Jade was given before her unfortunate injury.
Yeah. So I'm sure that it's one of those matches where I'm sure they're going to tear the house down. But for now, that's kind of where I'm at with them. A weird segment that I kind of caught me off guard is Hank and Tank, Idris and Malik, Chase U, and Metaphor are all auditioning to be hosts for Stand and Deliver. Later, Metaphor tells us they are going to be the hosts of Stand and Deliver. I love anything with Metaphor. They crack me up. I'm a big fan of them. So I think they're going to be great hosts. It felt like there was supposed to be more to this story, though, than like the 20-second video and then them announcing themselves as the hosts.
Yeah, it was funny. See, I'm a big Pretty Deadly fan, and they hosted a Stand and Deliver. They're never going to live up to that, but they can try. I am here for the celebration. If Trick goes over Mello, you know, is the host going to come out and celebrate with him? Because that story, that's been the most invested I've been in Metaphor in a while, and it's not Metaphor. It's just Sash and Trick.
And Metaphor, they crack me up. I'm excited to see how they do stuff.
It's gonna be chaotic.
But you're right, no one's gonna be Pretty Deadly at just about anything. So
no, they're so good.
Except for wrestling matches, I guess. But
shut up. That's too real.
It's too, but like they are absolute. I have loved those guys forever. They are.
I wanted to see them in the ladder match at WrestleMania. I'm a little sad they're not gonna make it to it.
Yeah, it's too bad, but I'm sure they'll do well in the end. They'll come back. They're too talented to not have huge careers.
Yeah, but they're like, talk about, we were just talking about it, people that don't have the same energy on the main roster. Like, God, they're just not letting them do what they do. I love their entrance. I do. The disco ball coming down. The entrance, they nailed it. It's very Pretty Deadly. If you weren't familiar with them, that will give you the vibes. But
yes,
people have not gotten to see what Pretty Deadly can do, and it's, oh, they're missing out, man. They're missing out. They're so talented.
Pretty Deadly are, for not being brothers in real life, I've never seen two guys that seem like they share the same brain when they talk and do promos. And, like, they just feel like it's two bodies, one brain.
Yeah.
Like, between them. They are, like, when they talk, they chime in at the right times, and they just, like, get this banter going. It's incredible.
They're the best. And I will be a fan of them forever.
So we'll see how they pan out. But Thea Hale had a match with Jasmine Nix. Basically, Hale comes out strong. JC Jane tries to throw in the towel on Thea Hale. Ruckus ensues. Chase U gets kicked out. JC Jane tries to get involved. Thea Hale gets the win. Then Kiana James and Izzy Dame come out to try to help beat up Thea Hale before Fallon Henley and Kehlani Jordan even the odds. I feel like this is just how many people can we, this is going to be a big match on Stand and Deliver.
You think so? I think it should just be Thea Hale and JC Jane.
I think it should be, but the way this is going, I've got a feeling it's going to be like, let's get like a 6 or 8 person. I guess six.
No, you can just do a thing where JC Jane keeps running away from Thea Hale and make the rest of the women like Iron, lumberwoman match, whatever.
Oh, that could actually be better, because I agree it should be JC Jane versus Thea Hale.
Yeah, that's the match that I want to see. I'm not trying to see all of these women in a match. I'm not. No offense to them, they're all great, but the story that we've been told for months is JC Jane and Thea Hale. And you have a pay-per-view, so why not put it there? You're not going to get any bigger than... I don't want to see it on an episode on NXT when we could have done it at Stand and Deliver.
Thea Hale deserves a lot of credit, because when she goes for the I Want to Break Everyone's Heart at Home, she nails it. Like, when she
I
did
know,
the...
we were friends!
I was like, oh, Thea! I wanted to be like, Thea, it's a show. It's okay. Like, she got me so much. I was like,
her little face was adorable. Like, you bought it. You bought every second of that moment. Even JCJ for a second, like, you saw her hesitate, like, oh, damn.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Thea Hale, she's so good at those moments, though. And
she's such a lovable person that when you see her, like, being sad or whatever, you just automatically want to, like, I am a big I'm a big fan of, I'm more on the heel side when it comes to the people that I prefer. And there's only a handful of baby faces that I'm like, okay, come here, I'll love on you. And Thea Hale is one of them. She's just lovable. You can't help it.
You really can't. Even when she was trying to be a heel, she's just so like,
it was so awkward.
Oh, come on.
And you're sitting there watching, like, baby, no.
It was like she was like I mean this in the nice way. She's like when like that cartoon Minions or whatever, like the Pixar, like you're not bad guys. You're too cute and lovable to be bad guys.
Right. We're not going to buy it. But you know what was impressive here? That was Jasmine's in-ring debut as far as NXT goes. And I thought she looked great. Like I want to give her flowers. If you would have not told me that is her first time in the ring on television, I would have not known. Because she just was so natural. So I just want to take a second to give her flowers because I thought she looked great for her first televised, match, at least on NXT. Yeah. I don't know if she's been on Level Up, but on NXT.
Yeah, that's a good point because I thought she was great. And that was a match that is kind of tricky because she had to be in the right place at the right time for a lot of different things, like with the towel throw and the distractions and things like that. So a tricky match to be in. I have a feeling Jasmine Nix is going to be very popular and do very well.
She is. She looked great. She's a full package.
Yeah, she's gonna do very well. And someone who has recently come up and been very successful, Lola Vice, had a open challenge. Natalya answered that open challenge. And
so random.
Yeah, I was like, okay, good.
Not mad at it. I'm never mad at a Natalya appearance on NXT. Just like, but I can't help but to think, who did Lola Vice pissed off that they're going to have her lose to Natalya right now?
So that's the thing. It's interesting because it feels like this week, especially there's a lot of veterans on this week's episode. But also Lola Vice felt like she was like one of the chosen ones for a while, but it hasn't necessarily gone that way since she won the breakout tournament. Do you think that the stock is still high on Lola Vice? Do you like, what do you think's going on over there?
I think she has it all. I think she's a full package. She has the look, her background. However, I paid a lot of attention to Natty's promo to her before the match started, where Natty said, "I'm not saying this because I don't like you. I'm saying this because I see everything in you, and you're taking it for granted." So, maybe this could be a humbling experience for Lola, and this gives her opportunity to grow as a character. I want to see where they go with it. But yeah, I mean, the cashing was terrible. And then after that, she's just kind of like out here losing. But yeah, I mean, a loss to Natalya is nothing to be mad at yourself about.
Yeah.
That's the boat.
Absolutely. I was actually thinking, I think she's great in WWE. I'm not saying she should leave or that she wants to or anything like that. But I was actually wondering how big of a draw could she be if she did like a Matt Cardona indie run, Natalya, because I feel like there's a lot of people who pay money to see her face other people outside of WWE.
She's so good. She's so freaking good.
Again, and I'm not saying she should leave. I'm just saying.
Right. I'm just seeing the clips of her wrestling school that she's doing with TJ. My God, she's doing incredible things. Like, Natalya, give her, you know what? There was a quote that came out this week. I saw it all over my timeline. Go Roman Reigns saying, "Give me my flowers now while I'm doing it." Yeah. There are so many people that deserve people giving them credit. Natalya is definitely one of them.
We do wait too long to give people their flowers. Like, we shouldn't wait till their Hall of Fame speech or until they retire. Like, give it to them now.
Right here, right now. Make sure that you mention how great they are.
There are so many people in wrestling today where I'm like, what, like, you're going to be so bummed out when they're gone. Like, quit acting like they should. They're not great. Speaking of people who are gone and came back, Sol Ruka had a little video package.
Great video package.
Yeah, Blair Davenport saying she's going to test that new ACL. And also, just to bundle up a few things, Ariana Grace is trying to help out Georgina to get back on track.
She's super entertaining. I'm a big fan.
Sol Ruka, Blair Davenport, I think, has been solid for a long time. But Ariana Grace and Sol Ruka are two people who I feel like are just capturing the hearts of viewers.
Yeah, keep an eye on them.
So big stuff.
Sol Ruka is everything. And that video package, her on the beach surfing, she's just such a cool chick. Like, I love her.
Her finisher, I have to rewatch every time she hits it.
So every good.
Time. I'm like, how did she do this? Oh my goodness, that's it. She's so good, and Ariana Grace is such a great character. I can't wait to see what they do to Georgina, and just Connor Georgina already. Like, I've already sold on this pairing.
So good.
We got a couple more things here. Dragunov faces Channing Stacks Lorenzo. Story of the match is Channing is really just softening up Dragunov's arm for his match later.
The story of the match was, is Stacks gonna make it out alive?
I mean, for sure. Sure, But where is Tony D taking Dragunov for dinner? I'm not sure. Do you have any guesses?
We saw a murder at the end of Raw last night. We saw a murder at the end of NXT tonight. I'm pretty sure Tozawa and Otis might both be dead. So you never know. I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah, I was wondering if it's going to be where if he's going to do the same thing they did with Legado del Fantasma, where it was it was like in the park or something, right?
No, it wasn't in a park. They were in like this weird building before, and then outside they were in a park.
Okay, so one of those things, I think.
It was like this like mad suspicious building. It wasn't the restaurant. So if I'm Dragunov, just don't show up.
Or they're going to take him to that bridge where they dumped the other guy who used to be in the.
But they went to the bridge last week and they just left him there.
Oh, yeah, it's true. Maybe they should have thrown him off. They could have finished this whole story.
Yeah, Tony D will be the champ.
You've gone soft, Tony. and then Majestic Marie rolling through here at the end. Always good to see you. Ridge Holland is retiring. Do you buy it?
No.
You think how long do you think it is before he comes back?
I don't know. Look, I struggle with this one, like watching it live, because first of all, I'm a wrestling fan, so I trust nothing or no one. Everything is at work. It's very hard when you do these kind of things, when we've seen real retirements, we've seen fake retirements. So there's a part of me that is like, I don't know if I trust this or not. There's the human part of me that while I have never felt invested in Rich, I have never been mean. I think circumstances and weird things happen. I've never been one to say something I mean about him. Like what happened, happened. And I cannot even begin to imagine the hate that he has gotten, because we talk about Big E and how much we miss him on a daily basis. So there's a part of me that the human part of me is like, okay, listen, if this is a for real thing, see, this is the thing about the reactions. They kind of pop up on their own, by the way. But so if this is something that he needs to do on the human side, do whatever is best for you. Do I buy it? I don't right now. I don't. Yeah. But if he does need, I think a break might actually be great, because whatever they try to do with him in NXT, it also didn't click. I don't know if they took him to NXT to try to hit a reset button, but I don't know that it worked. I never felt any more invested. Yeah. You know what I mean? What about you? How do you feel about this?
Psycho says, I have trust issues because of wrestling, Jack.
I don't trust anyone.
A great follow on Twitter, at Wrestling Humble, had a tweet after this that said, Mark Henry has done some irreversible damage to retirement speeches.
Because that's what everybody was saying on my chat. Everybody started saying, Mark Henry. Is it real? Yeah. I played a funny bye-bye clip after he got done talking, because I'm like, I'm not sure I buy it. And like I said, if it's a legit thing, then, you know, do whatever is best for you. But I'm not buying it right now.
Lego Brick Collector earlier today said, breaking, Rich Holland has been moved to the alumni section. Oh,
now I think it's at work even more.
Yeah.
Because they had Sasha Banks and Trinity on the roster until they showed up somewhere else because they were that lazy to update it. If they moved it, it's at work.
Yeah, it's. I feel like it is. I do, too. And I don't know. Because here's the thing. Yeah, I agree with you. If this is an issue, and it might be a real issue with his life, because he probably has gotten a lot of stuff. If that is, that's terrible. And I hope this is better for him. That said, whatever it was, like what he was doing, I felt like he was acting the parts well enough, but it was not connecting. I don't think he was getting sympathy. I don't think he was like, people didn't care. And so you need to do something. You need to wash the slate clean. You can't have him be a brawling brute. You can't have him. You got to take him away for a little bit.
The fact that you injure people as part of your story is not going to make the social media backlash stop coming. It's the opposite. Yeah. You should have just reset him and completely, like, even change his name. Like, make us forget and give him, like, a whole new gimmick, a whole new everything. But when he first came to NXT, Jack, they were using the people that he injured as part of his story. And I'm like, this is a terrible idea.
Yeah, that's never a good move, especially considering the situations. But so if it is part of the plan, I hope he's able to come back better than ever. If it's not, and he really is leaving, it's a shame that he got, I guess, kind of bullied out of the industry. But I hope he's happy regardless. We got the Alpha Academy taking on the Wolf Dogs, and. This one ended how I think a lot of us expected it to.
It was so good.
The Wolf Dogs, they are so good. I mean, Alpha Academy is great, but like the Wolf Dogs seem like they're entertaining backstage. Like they hit so hard and they're so fast and they're so cool. They, if you were making a checklist, Issa, I feel like they check every single box for what you want.
Yeah, 1000%, especially between the two of them. Shout out to their segment backstage before the match where Bron Breakker was trying to give Baron Corbin the sun.
In the camp.
I knew you were gonna show up all pale and boring. Oh my God. I love their interaction. I want them to retain these titles. I know that we're trying to move Bron Breakker to the main roster, but I want them to stay NXT Tag Team Champions past Stand and Deliver. But this match slaps. So I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, you can't have the Wolf Dogs lose. Like, and I wouldn't buy them losing to Alpha, maybe Otis, but I'm sorry, I know he's your guy, but I'm like, there's no way to saw it. You know, however, if it was a showcase match to show us what the Wolf Dogs can do as a tag team, my God, they were yeeting your boy around. They were just throwing Tozawa around. They threw Otis through the table. Like it was chaos. It was fun. I loved it. The last 5 minutes of this match were nonstop.
They were like, Bron Breakker gets going so fast and he hits people so hard.
I'm like, if these ropes give up, this boy's gonna die. He's still gonna like.
There was one time in there where he hit the ropes like three times before he hit Tozawa. And I was like, he's going to kill Tozawa.
He's
like when
kill
he hits him. Mm-hmm. He's going to hit him so hard. And
his spear is beautiful.
It's just like, but again, their backstage segments. What I love about them is especially this week, I was thinking, this is how guys talk in real life. In pro wrestling, people don't talk like real life. But, like that is how friends talk to each other. You know?
Yeah.
Like you said, I knew you were going to show up all pale and weird. You know?
Yeah.
Like you make fun of each other and you give each other a hard time.
I say that to Jack every time before we go live.
You do. And it's but it's like these guys, like I said, they check every. I don't want them to break up anymore. If Bron Breakker goes to the main roster, I want Corbin to go with them. I want him to be a tag team, and I feel like with all due respect to every other tag team, anyone else who wins those titles is going to be a kind of feel like a letdown.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I don't want them to lose the titles. I want them to figure out a way. I mean, we haven't really seen a lot of Bron Breakker on the main roster right now. We saw a couple of highlight matches for him, kind of squashes, but I don't know if they knew what they had putting them together, but my God, they have made it work to a point where I'm like, do not break them up. Like, I don't care if they had to perform on both shows, like figure it out. But these two guys need to stay together. And they look great tonight. And just, I've always been a big Corbin fan, always. But I will tell you one thing. He has made Bron Breakker grow on me because I was not a big Bron Breakker person. And this pairing has been the most that I have enjoyed Bron Breakker. And I know people are the other way. Some people really like Bron Breakker. And maybe he's helping them get into Corbin. And that's the one thing that when you put two single stars in a tag team, a lot of times they don't elevate each other. But these two guys is working.
You know, we talked about, you mentioned Baron Corbin. I always say he's very much like, he reminds me a lot of Joe Gacy, who we talked about earlier in this. Well, I guess Joe Gacy reminds me of Baron Corbin, but in the sense that Corbin is also one of those guys you can kind of just plug in anywhere and it works and it's great. So I think this is an example.
The end of
that.
Days is one of the best finishers in all of wrestling right now. And I will die on that hill.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it absolutely is. And he's one of he's one of those guys that when they retire, everyone's going to want to give him his flowers. But he was actually really, really great. Enjoy him now,
kids.
He's
done so many
great
things outside of the cashing. The cashing was terrible.
I hope he gets a chance to be a world champion before all is said and done. I don't know what the cards are going to have because right now the top of WWE is a stacked field. But I would love to see him have a title reign before it's all said and done.
Somebody else too that I've gotten a chance to interview, and I was like, holy crap, you're actually so much more cooler. For like, I already thought he was cool, and then you get an opportunity to just chat with him. He was one of the most easiest going fun interviews that I ever had. I was like, I love you even more. You love when you get to interact with them and it just like elevates them even more because you just don't expect them to be that way. He was like, shout out to Fernando. He got tired of working. He was like, I saw Baron Corbin just be super cool in that media room, and he did a bunch of things that I wasn't expecting. Shout out to him. Baron Corbin is a real one. And he has a great line of coffee. If you guys are coffee lovers, check it out.
Lego Brick Collector says honorary Puerto Rican.
Yes, his wife is Puerto Rican. So I asked him about it in my interview, and he started busting out name of restaurants that you have to be from here to know these places. And I'm like, okay, I'll claim you from now on. I see.
Yeah, Baby Ice, he flattened Becky Lynch. That makes him Hall of Fame
already.
That
moment is in my head rent-free forever.
That was because that was in, I believe, was kind of one of the dark periods of WWE creative. And that was one of the moments.
They had that when they paired Seth and Becky for no reason. It wasn't necessary. And they have both of the main titles. And I remember that main event of Extreme Rules. Like, but he freaking hits the end of days on Becky, turns around, Lucas says, like, what are you going to do about it? And I was like, bro, that's Ginster. Like, I'm sorry. Like, Baron Corbin is the coolest.
Because that was definitely one of those times I was kind of like, this is not a great time in WWE. And I remember when that happened, I remember like I stood up off the couch, I was like, like,
Becky for taking that too.
Yeah, that was like a fantastic moment in pro wrestling. Fantastic times in pro wrestling, Issa, just all around. I feel like a lot of stuff is doing
wrestling
very well.
Wrestling is so fun right now. And as wrestling content creators, of course, we need it to be fun, right? We're trying to eat here, but
yeah,
it feels like it's not forced. I have people texting me that I haven't watching forever. People that like on my DMs, like, oh my God, I saw that. I'm like, wait, you like wrestling? Well, I used to, but I started watching again. Like, it's just wrestling feels very, it's just fun to talk about right now. Like, there's been periods of times where we have to do this and you're about to go in the air and you're like, oh, we got to talk about this show. It doesn't feel that way right now. And
right.
WrestleMania season. There's no season like WrestleMania season. That's my Christmas, okay? So,
and what I love about it is this is one of those years where not only is WrestleMania looking like it's going to be an incredible week, but also it feels like there's a lot of stuff left over for after WrestleMania. It doesn't feel like, well, then what are they going to do after this? It's like, wow, there are so many things that they could do after WrestleMania. So,
and the unpredictability. The unpredictability of it all, like starting from NXT, this middle and trick could go either way. To like, we're over here like trying to figure out who's gonna cost who the main event of WrestleMania. This isn't a who's gonna win. It's gonna be Cody. It's gonna be Roman. It's like, is The Rock gonna turn? Is Seth gonna turn? Is this for like? It's so amazing.
Every like so many of the matches, I have no idea how they're gonna turn out. This is truly one of the most excited I've been for WrestleMania. I'm very excited for it, and yeah, I can't wait to head on over there. Again, anyone who's going to be over there, let me know. I'd love to meet some of the folks there. You know, I'm definitely one of those guys. I like to roam around the arena, so maybe I'll see you walking around the arena too. But Issa, we've spent our hour here. What are your kind of overall thoughts for NXT this week, and where can the world find you online?
Yeah, I thought it was a fun episode of NXT. The highlight is definitely that Prime Target with Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes. I recommend everybody goes watch it. And yeah, I love wrestling right now. 2 days in a row where I'm just like turning the show off and going, oh my God, I need to talk about this with someone. Thank God I did this show today. And yeah, the world can find me, NYC Demon Diva, across all social medias, especially here on YouTube. I'm getting pretty close to 25,000 subscribers, so it will mean the world if you guys go over there and check it out.
Yeah, definitely go follow Issa and help her get to that 25,000 subscriber goal. I'm almost up to 500.
And you gotta celebrate every milestone. You have to celebrate every milestone because you have to start somewhere. I believe in that. I don't think anybody's too small or too big. I think people just need to just keep going.
Yeah. I'm not as good of a follow, but definitely give me a follow.
You're fun to follow.
Oh, thank you. You can follow me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. You can also check me out. You're gonna be there tomorrow too, right? For AEW.
I don't know. No, I think I might be back for Friday.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll be on for Wednesday. I'm not on for Friday. Make sure to follow at Wrestling Inc. for all your latest news. I'm going to be doing some commentary for GCW's The Collective while I'm in Philly. So kicking off the show for Defy. And then I'm doing another show, but I don't know if I'm allowed to say which one it is yet. I always like to make sure they say it's cool for me to say it before I say it.
I'm the same way. I don't announce anything until I know what I'm doing. And they tell me. When they're like, are you going to promote it? That's when I'm like, okay.
I wait till then. So I'm just going to wait till then. But for now, I can definitely say I'm going to be on Defy. I'm going to be on another show as well. So if you're in town, go see the show. And if you're not in town, order it, and then you can actually hear me. I will see you guys all there. Can't wait to be a part of that. And Issa, I guess I'll see you, I guess, in Mania.
Until oh then, my God!
End stream.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.